Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Unwrapped podcast. I'm your host, Emily Vogel, and of course, we have your other amazing, awesome host here, Andy Ortiz. Andy, how's
Hello.
It going?
We're living. Listen, you've been changing your background on me a lot lately, and I'm good with it. Like, that's fine. I love this, like, where in the world is Emily San Diego thing. But where are you? Because you have, like, what I think are bookshelves behind you that are just entirely empty. So I'm very confused.
They're just entirely empty. No, I am at my makeshift little studio here at my parents' place in Florida. We're moving to another place in Florida, so it's all kind of in motion.
Well, so you're moving out of where you are. Okay, I was going to say,
we'll get some books. Into the house next door. So that's, you know, a far move.
I have so many questions that we just don't have time to get into, but know that I'm very intrigued by what's happening in your life right now.
We'll have to catch up on that. But Andy, how are you? How was your long weekend? I mean, this week is all, like, I feel like long weekends just, like, confuse me, like, the rest of the week. I'm like, where am I? What day of the week is it? What time is it? What's going on? But I mean,
yes.
I'm kind of like that always anyways. But
I was going to say, I legitimately have not known what day it is in about 3 years. I was out walking my dog the other day, like, over this long weekend, and passed a neighbor. We did the Midwestern thing. Hi, how are you? Great. And he goes, hey, good morning. And then he stops and he goes, I think it's morning, right? And I was like, I had to check my phone. And I was like, yeah, it's before noon. It's still morning. And I was like, great. And so that was just kind of a moment of, like,
I'm glad to know
struggle.
It's not just us. I'm glad to know it's not just us.
People are struggling. Time is, as I always say, time is not real. My long weekend was good. Otherwise, I needed it. It was my first, like, full weekend back from my trip, because I got back from Europe on, I got back on a Saturday and avoided jet lag really well, by the way.
Okay.
But I got back on a Saturday and it was like evening Saturday. And so I really only had Sunday and then to, like, get back in the swing of things. And then, so I feel like I made up for it with this, like, with this nice long weekend. I napped so much and it was,
yeah, napping is necessary. And I know, obviously, you last episode, and if you haven't tuned in to last week's episode, please do so. It
you
was
should.
Awesome. We had the amazing Morfydd Clark. But we actually chatted to our guest who's on this week's episode. We chatted with her before your trip, actually, and she did give you some awesome recs.
This is, like, a really, like, low-key way. When I say, like, so, like, we were talking about, all right, so I'm just going to tell people. Can I tell people? Can we just?
Yeah, okay. We'll let them know who they're hearing from today, who our special guest is.
Our guest on today's episode is the one and only Olivia Cook from House of the Dragon on, I was going to say the old name. They changed names. It is just Max now.
Have you heard, those things? I love the tweets that are like, so what's Peacock going to be now?
Did you see Peacock responded to that? They were like, we know
what
you want.
They say?
Yeah, they were like, we know what you want. We're not going to do it. And I respect them. I respect them leaning into the joke. If you haven't seen the memes, guys, it was like HBO Max switched to just Max. Like, they dropped the HBO. And so everyone was like, okay, so HBO Max went to Max. Peacock, your move. And so they would drop the front half. You get it. I don't need to explain the joke to you. But Peacock was like, yeah, we see you. We're not going to do that. But thanks so much. Yeah, it was, I had a good laugh at that one. But yeah, no, Olivia Cook, we speak to her on this episode. And I let her know that I was going to London. And she was like, oh, dude, email me. I have a list of recommendations for you. And, like, that's what people say, right? Like, you always think, like, oh, okay. Like, she had, I kid you not, a list of recommendations for me, guys. So if you ever need a London recommendation, I'm happy to, like, share it and pass it along. Her recommendations were so good. One of them that I really, really loved, she recommended a vintage clothing shop in London. And we went to that. And there was, like, there were so many cool things. I felt like I had stepped into an episode of, like, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which, RIP, I'm going to miss that show so much. That show just ended. I'm sad about it. But they had cool stuff from, like, the 50s. But then also, like, this, like, they had all the decades. There was one coat I really, really enjoyed. And I asked the woman about it. I was like, hey, can I look at that coat outside? And she was like, okay, so just so you're aware. I was like, great. She goes, you're American, right? And I go, yeah. And which that happened less than you would think in London. And she's like, but just so you're aware, this is like a major designer in the UK. And also that coat is legitimately from like the 60s. So it's pretty expensive. And I was like, okay. And I went and I looked at it. I was like, oh, like I thought she was just calling me poor. No. Sister was just looking out for my wallet. Like, it was, as much as I wanted it, I was really like frugal on my souvenirs that I bought in London. So like sis was looking out for me and I appreciate that. But I still a little part of me thinks she was calling me poor, but that's okay. Cause I am.
Like, it's like one of those things that you don't realize till after you're like, wait, was she calling me poor? But I like, that's amazing. Cause I thought, I mean, I'm bad enough. Like I'm always like, oh, I'll recommend stuff. And then I always like forget to send my racks. But I thought maybe it was just like restaurants, but that's cool that there was shops too.
Yeah, there were some shops. There was a really cool market. But yeah, there was a lot of food and we ate so much food. It was the best. But yeah, so thank you to Olivia Cook for just elevating my trip to London that much more. I don't know why she ever leaves. Honest to God, London's great, guys. I like you British folks. Why do you leave? Why? It is great. It is nice. It is safe. And the weather's like kind of crap. But like other than that, it's fine. It's great. So I don't know. I'm ready to go back.
Well, on that note, now that we're like hyping up Olivia's great taste in recommendations and all of that, I think it's time to roll the episode.
Let's
film the interview.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Olivia, hello. Welcome to Unwrapped. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are so excited to see you again because this is not the first time we've chatted. First and foremost, how are you? Genuinely, how are you doing? How are you actually in the world today?
Oh, well, thank you for having me, guys. I'm all right. It's a beautiful day here in London. So I've just been bopping about in the park and having a nice walk around London. So I'm feeling all right, despite, you know, globally what is happening in the world. Me personally right now, it's all right.
Good. I'm glad.
What about you guys?
I meant to ask you, I'm doing very well because I'm going to London here very soon. It's my first time ever. I've never been like outside the US. So I'm going to London for the first time, London and Scotland. So if you have any recommendations, I would very much welcome them, Olivia.
Oh, dude, after this, I will give you a list of recommendations. London to me is the best city in the world.
I believe so.
I'm very excited for you.
I'm excited too. But Emily, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, thank you again for joining us after our Next Gen panel on Power Women Summit. We didn't scare
that
you,
so
it's good
fun
to have you back.
Oh, I loved that. All those wonderful people on that Zoom. That was so, well, not Zoom, whatever this is. it was so gorgeous to chat. I wish we'd all been in the same room together.
Yeah,
I feel like we could have done cocktails afterwards.
Yes. we'll make it happen. But yeah, we're excited to chat one-on-one with you to talk more in depth about the series. But first things first, we firmly believe in, of course, asking the most important question first, and that is, how many DMs did you get of people asking for feet pics? Like, that was like our, we were like, because that one scene, we were like, oh, but this poor girl, the infamous foot scene between Blair Strong and your character, Allison Hightower.
Yeah, it's wild because like doing that scene, we knew that there was like this intense power play at hand and sort of like exploring the deep shame and intricacies of that. But then, you know, the internet completely, you know, pulls stills and extrapolates on whatever they want to. And so it all became about the feet in the online discourse. And so, yeah, it was mad to like, you just don't know what's going to hit, do you? You don't know what people are going to be, you know, titillated by. And it was indeed that, which was completely surprising to me. But I don't know. I don't look in my DMs. I'm sure there's a few. I don't know. Apparently, I was number one on WikiFeet for a while.
Oh, my God. I don't know if we should say, like,
the point of the scene.
But like, do we say congrats to that? Like, is that
thank you?
For the longest time, I didn't think WikiFeet was a real thing. Like, I remember hearing about it, and I think it was like an SNL thing. Like, I thought it was part of Saturday Night Live, and like, no, it's like a real site. I've never been on it because that is a terrifying corner of the internet. And for those of you listening and not seeing this video like we are, I wish so deeply you could see the trauma that just hit Olivia's face when Emily mentioned the court scene, because really it's a scary corner of the internet. So I'm glad that you are getting through okay, I guess.
Hey, I'm glad I experienced, you know, something like that. It's one for the memoirs, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, so speaking of Power Women Summit, it was an excellent panel. And guys, that is available online for you to stream now. So it happened in December, but like if you missed it, go watch it now because it really is an excellent conversation among just excellent women. One of the things you mentioned during that conversation, Olivia,
was, and you kind of just touched on it now, staying off social media, just like not looking. I mean, you look at the tweets, but then like you stay off, you don't check the DMs. I'm curious now what you're doing to look out for yourself, because now that the season is out there and everyone has it and everyone has like the spoilers, I have to imagine people are like coming up to you on the street and if they see you in person. So how are you now taking care of yourself now that it really is out there for everyone?
Well, it's a bit of an adjustment period, isn't it? Because I've never been a part of something that hit the zeitgeist quite like it did. And so, you know, walking down the street, I mean, is a bit of a different experience now, which I've never had before. And you know what? People are generally really lovely and really kind and nice. And, you know, you take the picture and then you carry on with your day. And it's okay. I mean, there is that weird thing of like, God, am I just being watched? But 9 out of 10 times I'm not. And they're probably just, you know, looking at me because they like my jacket. I don't know, you know. But I don't have like any apps on my phone, and so when I do have to like use social media for worky stuff, I'll download it and then delete it immediately after like an hour of like sucked in scrolling. And so just that really, because I don't know, it's just such a time suck and such a, it occupies so much of your mental real estate otherwise, doesn't it?
It does. I applaud that you're even able to. I have this, like, I have a horrible addiction to social media. Emily, have you ever gone on a cleanse, like fully deleted the apps from your phones?
I have not. I need to, because I'll just accidentally, like, my thumb just automatically knows how to click onto TikTok. And then 2 hours later, I'm just like, holy crap, it is a dangerous hole. So I commend you, Olivia.
Yeah. And I had the time limits on my phone for ages, but my phone would just go like, ignore, 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 ignore. So yeah, I can't be trusted.
Yeah, and it's like a muscle memory thing too, to just go to the app. There's been apps that I clicked on, and I'm like, I didn't even have any intention of clicking that. Like, my hand did that all on its own. So it's terrifying is what it is. That's the message here. Social media is terrifying always. Well, as we again, you know, talk about Power Women Summit, how great that was, I want to take the moment to clarify something that was said during that panel. I was nervous, excited, I don't know, but I believe I phrased a question to you, Olivia, with the preface of like, Allison may not be the best, and then listen, I just want to clarify, at no point was I saying I dislike your character. I love you, and I love your character.
Even if you did, if you did dislike my character, that's so fine. You're so entitled to do that. That's why, like, I don't want to play characters that have to be liked universally.
Really?
You know, that's sort of like the beauty of what we do. Everyone is so moved in and projects so much stuff in so many different ways, you know.
Yeah,
it's that's so, oh my god, I was not even thinking about that. So great. Please don't fix it. I did the exact same thing. I want to reassure you that never has it crossed my mind.
Good. Okay.
Andy's a fucking bitch for saying that. And honestly, even if you did like, even if that was your true opinion that you didn't like the character, that is also fine as well. Like, you know, I'm fully aware that Allison is a bit like Marmite.
Well, how do you deal with that? I mean, when people do tell you, because I have to imagine there are people who are very bold and some will say it to your face. And how do you deal with it when someone does say, I hate your character? Like, because we know that you did go through that at some point. You saw some of the tweets.
I had it last night in the pub. Some woman came up to me and was like, you're that girl of House of the Dragon. Your character is such a C word. And I was like, oh, God. I hated you. And you just got to be like, oh, okay.
Okay, great. Have a good
nice
drink.
Night. Yeah. But hey, you're making people feel. And I guess there's some sort of impact that the story and the arc is pushing through. So it's hard, because it's also so hard to quantify, because I feel like I live in such just different boxes in terms of my life. So like, I, you know, I'm able to like sort of like compartmentalize and put that experience away, even though it's sort of opened back up and now we're shooting season two. But I just don't, I think I'm learning to have a bit more of a rhino skin. So I don't really take it personally. Like, I know she's not the heroine. I went into that knowing that she's a very flawed person and she's full of all these just differing complexities. So it's more like, I don't know. I don't know. It's just hard to take on. And I guess that's the best, really, to just not take it on.
I like it. I support it.
If that makes any sense whatsoever on that watering answer.
Well, speaking of other things that kind of have social media and going viral, this one's a little more lighthearted. And that is, you know, on social media, we have learned, you know, that you are, you know, a fan of a Stunna Negroni, you know, with, you know, Prosecco. And what choice of drink are you going for these days? You know, we're talking here on a beautiful spring day, summer's around the corner.
Well, you know, in the hopes that I don't sound like an alcoholic, we went for drinks last night with the cast after rehearsals, and it was like I'd never drank before in my life. Can I just tell you my list of drinks that I had?
I love nothing more.
I got so excited. I had a Guinness, then I had a Bloody Mary, then I had an Aperol Spritz, then I had another Guinness, and then, because it was Fabian's birthday, we had some tequila shots, and then I had a tequila soda and lime, and then I had a ginger beer and tequila. It was like, I don't know how I've managed to escape a hangover today.
I was going to say, you're so functional right now.
I know. Because like, sometimes you have one glass of wine and then the next day you're like, But for some reason, really escaped. But I felt like I was 18 again. I was so excited by the prospect of everyone just being out and communing that I just had all. So I don't really know what specifically I'm drinking. It seems like I'm just drinking everything.
I love it. I like the padding of beer in between. Sometimes I've been doing that lately just to kind of, you know, I always say it's a marathon, not a sprint, you know, padding it with some Guinness in between. Now I'm getting thirsty.
We did start at like 4:30, so it was over a long period of time.
I'm so impressed, though. Like, genuinely, you would think you would be hungover. Wow, that is impressive.
Milk thistle. I know I should just give up drinking, but I've been taking milk thistle after I've had alcohol when I've got it here. It's just
I think you might have just changed my life forever.
it's a supplement. I don't know. It's from a thistle. And it helps for the functioning of your liver. And I know I should knock it on the head, but this,
if you have something
really
that
me.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're fine, you're fine.
I did not expect my life to be changed today.
Like, that's called milk.
Hey, yeah, no, take it and let me know. I'm not promoting, you know, abusing copious amounts of alcohol. But you know, when the night's gotten away from you.
I've had many of the. I feel like the moment I graduated college, I just got gnarly hangovers, and I still do. But I'm, you know, that doesn't get me down. I'm still doing it every weekend. Like, you know, when you after you have a baby and then you forget the pain or whatever, there's like that pickle that goes off. Yeah, that's enough. And then I just do it again, and then I like recover all week. But this is going to be good. I can rally
every single time. You just like never again. But I honestly, I'm feeling all right today, guys. I mean, you know, word recall is hard, which is, you know, and now I'm doing an interview with you guys, but I'm actually feeling all right.
Listen, word recall is hard on the best of days. My favorite, like my mantra in life is just words are hard. This was fascinating for me to learn, though, because like I don't drink. I've never been drunk in my life. And so like, I'm just like, I'm glad to know that because it will eventually happen. I'm certain. I've got too many friends
God,
that are like.
Don't start on account of me, please.
There's your headline. No, just because celebrations happen, weddings happen and whatnot, eventually I'm sure that like I'll want to cut loose. So I'm filing milk thistle in the back of my brain for when that moment does eventually come. But Emily, you'll try it before I do, so please do report back on how it is.
I'll let you know. We'll do a regroup on all of this.
Well, Emily, you start with the Negroni Spagliato Stunning, which I will say I do. Hang on. I need to choke first. Hang on. Emily prefaced all of that with the Negroni Spagliato and the Stunning, which I will say I say stunning like you now, Olivia, more than anything, just because I love like the way that you said it. But has that sound bite like died off for you yet? Because that was a whole moment. Are people still coming up to you and asking you, like, is that still just in your orbit?
A little bit. I'm like, whoa, you can really just do one interview and it completely eradicates like 11 years of work. And yeah, people do come up to me like, oh, stunning. And it's like completely gone out of my lexicon now. I used to love that word. It was an amazing overall descriptor. And now I say, I don't know, gorgeous instead, which isn't as fun to say.
Hey, it happened. Speaking of that 11 years of work, though, I have to relay a message from a friend here because I texted one of my friends this morning, told her that this interview was happening today. And the first thing she texted me back, all caps, was thoroughbreds. And I was like, are you having a stroke? Because that was one of yours that I was not familiar with. And she was like, no. It's just like my favorite thing of hers. There's her and Anya Taylor-Joy and Murder and Anton Yelchin. And she's like, what more could you want? Yeah. And I was like, I will relay this. So you have thoroughbreds love here is what the point of that was.
Oh, I loved that movie, which is, you know, a teeny tiny movie has found a, like a little niche life of its own. Yeah. That's really lovely, wonderful.
Yeah, I loved
thank
it.
You. Tell her thank you so much.
I will.
So I kind of want to go back to where we were talking about, you know, you have all these interviews and maybe one goes off into the ether and takes life of its own. But your interview specifically with co-star Emma Darcy, I'm curious to know what it's like on set with you both. What shenanigans do you both get up to? How do you keep a straight face? I feel like it would just be fun all the time, but it's such a serious show.
Well, unfortunately, like, we don't really have that much together. So like when we are in a scene together, it is sort of really Morris. And so I think we're just incredibly excited to play. But then there was, you know, in the season one that I for an eye scene, which was over the course of 5 days, and by the end of it was just like mania. Both of our eyeballs felt like husks in our faces. We just like, because it was so intense, and I don't know how old we were at that point, 27 years of friendship, that was, well, 27 years of a really intense relationship that culminated in this being held at knife point by me, and to sort of like keep up that intensity for 5 days was such a heavy task. And so by the end of it, it was just, we couldn't really look at each other because, like, looking everywhere, but because we'd just like crying, but just like hysterically giggling as well, because we were just had nothing left, just shells of ourselves. But yeah, so when we do see each other, it's like incredibly exciting to work with each other. And it's funny now because we all know each other so well, and so like going back into season two as like really cemented wonderful friends, and then having to be like really serious and like act opposite each other again, it's almost like embarrassing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like that's not you, that's why are you doing that voice?
Yeah. Why are you being so professional and acting like a real human?
I'm so professional, I'm so serious. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. But no, I just love them to pieces. It's I think like watching them is watching one of the greats. They're just endlessly fascinating to watch and so instinctive, and yeah, they transcend everything else, really.
I agree. And go ahead.
Yeah, to be very serious.
I know I want to talk about something else, and that is after Game of Thrones, they've tried to, for this series, for House of the Dragon, to make a more conscious effort to hire more women, to include more diversity behind the screen. When you're working on a project, and even not specifically House of the Dragon, is there a difference, or can you tell a difference when a woman is at the helm of a project?
Yeah. I mean, there's just an inherent understanding of of the process in which it took you to get to this place, just intrinsically. And it's not a straightforward path. It's usually a path where there were hurdles put in place by people of the opposite sex, and I think that, you know, there's an understanding there that you don't really have to discuss. And also, like, when you're trying to perform really intense interpersonal relationships, being directed by a woman or writing or saying lines that are written by a woman, I don't know, there's a depth to it that is completely different, and there's a wisdom to it as well, I think. And not to shit on male directors, because I've had fucking ball in my career with directors that happen to be male, and they've been incredibly emotionally intelligent and wise, but there is that innate power you feel being directed by a woman. Does that
absolutely
make sense?
Yeah, it totally does make sense. I want to ask, I know we can't get too far into season two because, just, you know, spoilers everywhere, but we're going to try to keep this broad here. I would very much like to know, obviously, your showrunner Miguel Sapochnik is gone for season two. He exited. He was one of the showrunners, had a huge role in this series, in this universe. So for you, and I guess like for the cast, or however much you feel comfortable speaking to this, I mean, what has the difference been on set? Like, what has his absence kind of felt like for you?
Oh, I mean, we all love Miguel. He's a brilliant director and an incredible collaborator. And he had just really radical ideas when it came to making the show. And I guess there's just been a collective effort to fill his shoes with other amazing directors. We've got some really cool directors that we're working with this year, and Geeta Patel and Claire Kilner are back. And so, yeah, I mean, his shoes won't be replaced entirely because he is his own entity, but there's still that proportion to make this season as good, if not better.
Of course. And that's a high bar to clear. I mean, there's always the pressure, especially with a franchise this big. On like a grand scheme of things, do you, like, at this point, do you know where Allison's story, like, ultimately, have you had any conversations about, like, her eventual endgame?
Well, I've read the book, so I sort of know where she ends up. But the book is on various accounts and differing accounts of history. So I don't particularly know what strand of history and hearsay that Sarah Hess and Ryan Condal will take. And I think that's sort of up for grabs. I do keep asking, and they're sort of like, I don't know, we'll see. Like, oh, well, that doesn't help, does it? Would love to know. But yeah, I know for certain where I'm going to end up this season. So that's good.
So where do you end up this season, Olivia?
Well, Andy.
And the feed just cuts out. We all suddenly have lasers on our chest.
Can't speak.
Yeah, we're all glitching out. And what's funny about this is we actually just had a conversation with Morfydd Clark, who of course is starring on Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. She is incredible. Just as big a franchise, just as big a show. And she mentioned that, like, when it comes to spoilers, she doesn't like the power of them. Like, she doesn't like the power that she holds knowing them. Where do you land on this? Like, do you enjoy having the secrets, or are you like, nope, this is awful, I don't like not telling you things? How do you, like, where do you land on spoilers?
No, I find it so uncomfortable, because, like, ultimately I am one of those people that if someone asks a question, I will just tell them what they want to know, you know, to my detriment, ultimately, 90% of the time. So yeah, no, it's uncomfortable, isn't it? Because I just feel like I'm being snide. But yeah, no, that would be terrible, and it'd ruin things so much for so many viewers. Even though it's such a funny dynamic, isn't it? Because, like, you want an audience to watch and be shocked and all, but then also there's such a rabid desire for the spoilers as well. They're really like cutting their nose off to spite their own face. I don't get it. I don't want to know when I'm watching something. If someone's already watched it before me, I'm like, shut up.
Well, I mean, Emily, where do you land on this? I know because we have different pop culture like habits. We consume kind of different genres. But like, Emily, are you a spoilers person? Do you like knowing what's going to happen?
Oh, absolutely not. Like, the only time I don't go on social media is if I'm not caught up with the show because I don't want to see like the memes or the spoilers. But again, like, I could never be in your position, Olivia, because I feel like, I mean, I don't want to seem like a bad friend, but I feel like I like learn information. I'm like, oh my God, guess what? Like, you know, like, I feel like I wouldn't, or like, I can't tell my parents, like, I'm so bad at lying too. I feel like it's like, yeah, you're right. I did it. Like,
yeah. I have that sort of like real like guilt, shame complex where I have to confess.
Yeah. But okay. But, you know, speaking of no spoilers, can you tease anything for season two that's like spoiler free?
Oh God, well, the world just expands so much. We were so insular the first season in the Red Keep, and now everything is quite disparate as we sort of all go on our own respective journeys throughout the season. And I think that's as much as I can say. That was quite ambiguous. The world is big.
The world is, well, it is big. All right, you might be able to say more if we frame it like this. What has it been like, I guess, filming season two, right? Because season one, you have that pressure going in of like, it's a prequel series. It's new to people, but it's not like you go in not knowing how people are going to take it and how people are going to receive it. Now you know, like now you know how people took it. You know that people loved it. So when you're filming for season two, even though you can't get in spoilers and we know that the world is big, how has filming compared for you and for the cast?
Well, we haven't started filming yet. We finished our last day of rehearsals yesterday and we start next week.
Hence all the drinks.
So, like any excuse. Oh, we finished rehearsal. Let's have a drink. But it's been wonderful doing the rehearsals because we're all in a room together and we're all able to hear the text read out loud. And for a lot of us, that's, you know, we won't see each other for a couple of months now because it is sort of spread, so that was wonderful, all coming together before we do our thing.
Good. I always forget rehearsals are a thing for TV. I don't know why. I like, that's like a very big piece of it, and I'm always like, they don't rehearse, they just go and no, of course you rehearse it. So I'm just
That's still such a luxury. Sometimes you don't get that.
Yeah,
you know, this is a proper luxury, having you know, time to go over the text and talk about it and change little things here and there.
I really feel like it's like summer camp.
And ask you all these questions now that you say that you can't avoid direct questions.
Honestly, I'm getting a flop sweat. Like, swerving.
Hang on, I will stop. I'll stop turning up the pressure in this pressure cooker. Turning up the heat in the pressure cooker. I will stop.
I'll jump in just with a more final general question. No pressure about the series. And that is, so much of our audience are young women looking to break into the industry. What advice do you have for them?
Oh, I mean, it's so hard to get seen. It's so hard to get your work seen. I would just be that really annoying person and send the emails and bang on doors. And also, you have your own unique perspective on life. Get that down onto paper, like record things, write as much as possible, and try and channel that, because there's only one you. So get it, as long as it's coming from the prism of you, then it's inherently so unique. But yeah, I would just bang on doors, metaphorically.
I love this advice. So
advice for the queen herself.
Literally, my favorite advice is like, be annoying, like annoy people. Just be obviously you're saying it much nicer, but if I were to phrase that really crassly, it would just be annoying.
Yeah, just pester people.
It's great.
Just get in, because also, like, what's the worst that can happen? They say no.
But no is such a scary word. I could go on a whole tangent about that. But unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, we do not have the time. But that is our time with you, Olivia. Again, thank you so, so much for talking with us today. It was so great to have a discussion with you again. Hopefully, we'll have more as House of the Dragon continues. You're great. We love and appreciate you. But just thank you. Thank you so much for talking with us today. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Emily. This was lovely. Thank you.
We're back. I swear, Olivia Cook is just, I think, maybe my favorite human. Because listen, I did feel weird bringing up the stuff about from Power Woman Summit. I did. And because I knew, like, logically, I knew we were fine. We were good. But it's that, like, it's that overthinking part of your brain that just sort of, like, nestles it in there. And it wasn't going to go away. And so I appreciate her being like, no, dude, I get it. Like, we're totally fine. So Olivia Cook and I, we're good. We're friends. I wish she wasn't in London when I went. I really wanted to hang out with her when I did. But no, she was in Spain living up her best life. So whatever. But
whatever. No, yeah. She's so cool. It's always super fun to talk with her. I know she did the virtual, the conversation that you did for the summit was virtual. Obviously, this is virtual as well. But one day we're manifesting an in-person.
Someday, man. I got like this close, but yeah, no, someday. I'm happy to go back to London just to hang out with Olivia Cook. But you also, I feel like you need to go drinking with her. Like, we need to go drinking with her, right?
Oh,
I'll
my
be your sober driver.
I need to get drunk with her and be hungover with her so we can try her hangover cure. People who are tuning in right now, please try it as well and let us know your thoughts. Again, we're at, follow us on Instagram at Rap Women and on Twitter at The Rap Women. You can check me out on Instagram and TikTok at Emily Vogel, please. Andy, hit him with the tag.
I'm on TikTok at Really Andy. It is Andy with an I. And on Instagram, it's the same thing, just with an underscore, Really underscore Andy. You can find me there.
And please, like, let us know how this hangover cure works, because I'm excited to try it too. And we'll let you know.
This is going to make me sound like a jerk. And I mean it in the most loving way possible. I am so surprised you haven't tried it yet. Like, I feel like you
I
must
wanted to wait for the episode to air. I wanted to do it timely.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. This is me saying, like, I'm surprised you haven't. Like, I think you got drunk between now and then.
You can follow my wild nightly adventures.
You're doing so much. I love following you. I never know where you're going to be. It's genuinely like a where in the world is Emily situation.
You know,
Andy, every time
I
open
know,
Instagram
I never
story,
know where I'm going to be
like, oh,
either.
She's in Florida. Cool. If she's in New York, great. Oh, she's in, like, I don't know where you are then. Like, next, every once in a while, you're in some random place like Texas. And I'm like, great. Live your best life in, like, Denver. I know that's not. Listen, I know Denver is not in Texas. I'm picking another city. I want to be very clear. I know how maps work. Not well. But I know that Denver is not in Texas. Take us home, Emily. Now I look dumb. I'm ending the episode looking so dumb.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I cannot wait to try the hangover cure, which I will be trying maybe this weekend. We'll see how things get. Maybe before the weekend. I don't know. Maybe right after this, I'll just go, go out for some day drinking. But thank you all so much for tuning in. And we can't wait to see y'all soon.
Bye, friends.
Bye.